opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. May not know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with. Take a moment and find out. Remember, in Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you shower down upon us, even the gifts that we don't always immediately appreciate. Today, Lord, we thank you for the gift of humility. Humility that sometimes hurts. Humility that sometimes is not appreciated. But humility that flows from a heart that knows our own sin, that knows our own unworthiness, that knows true humility in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. May that humility that flows from the cross and empty tomb be ours today and always. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world, amen. Amen. Hymn 700.
Thank you. Service of Prayer and Preaching, page 260 in your hymnal, page 260. Please stand. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
First reading for this morning, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold, is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This time we speak together or sing together our introit as it is listed in the bulletin insert. The epistle lesson comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This time we speak together the gradual as it's found in the bulletin insert. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine in the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the common response. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the
Please stand as we recite together the Catechism as it's found on page 264.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his maidservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Grace, mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to focus today on that gospel reading that was just read from Luke chapter 14. We begin with a little study about humility and shame. In and of themselves, humility and shame are both good and God-pleasing things. Because if you're humble, it shows that you're placing others before yourselves. And if you feel shame, that means that you know when you have sinned against your God or against your brothers here in this earth and are indeed needing to repent of that sin and receive the forgiveness which Jesus Christ has won for you on the cross. But unfortunately today in our American culture, humility and shame are almost completely unknown concepts. Now, there are certain things you wouldn't do in life, such as walk out of your house without any clothes on, or scream out in a crowded mall, or maybe even boast about how your Huskers were totally defeated by Michigan. Because to do these things would make you feel ashamed. They would make you turn red and blush. But In our American culture, true humility and true shame are not really known. And why is this? It is because we either do not know what God's Word has to say concerning what is right and what is wrong, and so when we sin, we do so out of ignorance, and therefore we brush it aside, or we know exactly what the Word of God has to say concerning right and wrong, but we choose to disregard or disobey the Word of God to justify living any way we see fit. But this is not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who knew all too well what true humility and shame look like. He knew this because even though He is truly the all-knowing God, the Alpha and the Omega, which we just sang about in our first hymn, He humbled Himself to be a student of God's Word throughout His whole life here in this world. He knew exactly what He was sent down to earth to do. How He was sent here to live, even though He is the ruler of all, to live as a servant of all. To humble Himself and take God's law upon Himself and bear it perfectly for you and for me. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one who truly humbles Himself so that we might be exalted. Our New Testament reading today from Luke begins with a miracle that Jesus did. He healed a man who came to Him who had dropsy, a disease where either your heart or your liver or your kidneys aren't working the way that they're supposed to. And because of that, your outer extremities, your arms and your legs, or maybe even your inner body cavities begin to fill with fluid. Jesus, out of His extreme love for this man, heals him and sends him away. But He does so on the Sabbath day. And according to the Pharisees and the lawyers who are standing around Him, that is not good or lawful for Jesus to do. Jesus is sinning because He's doing work on the Sabbath. Jesus, throughout His whole life, is always in discourse with these Pharisees and these lawyers and the scribes because He loves them. And He wants to teach them what the Word of God truly says so that they too might realize that they are sinners in need of Him who is their Savior. So, just like we do in our catechetical instruction in question and answer format, Jesus asked these Pharisees and lawyers who He's eaten with a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remain silent. So He tries one more time. He said to them, which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. Now certainly these Pharisees, these rulers of the people, knew exactly what they taught. They knew that they believed that any sort of work done on the Sabbath day is against God's Word, and therefore it's a sin. But today, they weren't able to answer Jesus at all. Which is pretty remarkable, because normally when Jesus asks a question to these guys, they answer it as quickly as possible, because they want to show everyone around them that they really are the true theologians of Israel, the people who know the Word of God, His commands and His ordinances, and follow them perfectly. But today, they cannot speak a word. This is because just a chapter before this, in Luke chapter 13, Jesus had already put these men to shame. Jesus was again doing miracles on a Sabbath day. He healed a woman who had a disabling spirit, and she was suffering with it for 18 years. And this upset one of the rulers of the Pharisees so much that he screamed out to everyone who was present, saying, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And so again, Jesus, out of his love for these people, trying to correct their understanding of God's word, says to them, "You hypocrites! Which of you, having an ox or a donkey, will not untie it from the manger on the Sabbath day and lead it away to water it? And should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, one of their very own people, be loosed from the bonds of Satan that she suffered with for 18 years on the Sabbath day?" At these words, Jesus' adversaries were put to shame. They could not reply to him, because Jesus, throughout all of his life, teaches what the Word of God truly does say. That the Sabbath was not made as a law for men to follow, to build our way up to God. But in fact, the Sabbath was given to us by God as a gift, to give us rest from our week's labors, and of course, to gather us together inside his house and strengthen us through his word, to remind us what he has done, to redeem us. But the Pharisees refused to humble themselves. They refused to believe that they are in fact sinners who needed this man, Jesus, as a savior to rescue them. Instead, they had trust in themselves that they could follow the laws that they made and work their way up to God instead of keeping God's holy word. It is hard for us to be humble in this life, to live according to the word of God, not only because it's impossible for us to do, but also because we are not continually in God's word, hearing it read and proclaimed, going to Bible study and listening to it and studying it further, or even having daily devotions to be immersed in it. Therefore, because we are not instructed by the true Word of God, we can fall into sin by following after what this world teaches. As Americans, we are brought up with this American dream, to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, to make something for ourselves by working hard enough, going to school long enough, or maybe even pushing others down beneath us. Now, don't get me wrong. If we are successful in this life, that is a good gift from the Lord. But it is something that is not to be achieved by pushing others down or disregarding the Word of God to justify doing whatever it is you want to do. Instead, we should humble ourselves to know that we are indeed sinners in need of a Savior, and disregard what this world has to teach us. For the wisdom of the world is ridiculous when we compare it to God's holy law. What does this world teach? Think about this for a second. We are so indoctrinated by things such as social media, television, Hollywood, that when we see things portrayed on TV or whatever else, such as homosexuality, living together before marriage, divorce for unjust reasons, abortion, assisted suicide, the list can go on and on. We no longer feel shame and guilt for those types of things. But we brush them aside as a common occurrence. We have fallen into the trap of the people of Israel during Jeremiah's time, when Jeremiah preached against them in chapter 6, saying, were they at all ashamed when they committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. They forgot how to bluff. This is because the people of Israel had rejected God, had thrown away his word and done whatever it is that pleased them and followed after false gods. And unfortunately, we too, when we fall away from the word of God, when we're not continually studying it and reading it, are tempted to believe what this world teaches is right and wrong, instead of listening to the sure word of God, to be reminded that we are indeed sinners in need of a Savior. And so we have one. Jesus Christ our Lord, who was a student of the Scriptures throughout his whole life. In the beginning chapters of Luke, we read about how Jesus was every Sabbath day in the synagogue, hearing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, and teaching the Word of God to those he was with, to show them who he is as their Savior, who has come down from heaven to fulfill God's Word for us. And he did so not by exalting himself over his own creation, which he has every right to do, but instead humbling himself and becoming a servant to all. Because just like the Sabbath day is not a law made for us to work our way up to God, but God to come down from heaven to be with us and strengthen us, so Jesus is not a new lawgiver giving us laws to follow to work our way up, but saying, look at me. I am the one who does all of these things for you. And so he came down from heaven and was born of a creature, born of the Virgin Mary, and made into our likeness. Jesus Christ, the very Lord and ruler of all, who instituted circumcision in the Old Testament, he himself went under it as an 8-day-old infant to place himself totally under the law of God for you. Jesus humbles himself even below his own family members, speaking of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, where he says to those around him, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Jesus Christ, the very Lord and ruler of all, calls himself least in the kingdom of heaven, even though he is the one who made heaven. And then, of course, Jesus shows us to be our true Lord, who has humbled himself for us by allowing the chief priests and rulers of the people to put him through a mock trial, to beat him, ridicule him, and spit upon him, and then deem him the perfect Lord of all, deserving of a sinner's death, and handing him over to Pontius Pilate, where he was again beaten and flogged, and then had to endure the shame of carrying his own form of execution, his own cross, up to Golgotha, to be nailed to it hand and foot, and then be exalted between heaven and earth for you, so that you do not have to bear that burden for your sin. And then he rose victoriously on that first Easter Sunday to again tell you that you are indeed forgiven. You have a Savior who has come down to you to live perfectly for you and to redeem you, so that now we, as God's redeemed people, can live holy lives here in this world. We can listen to God's word and strive with all of our heart to be of service to our neighbor and be of service to our God in such a way that, you know, our left hand does not know what our right hand is doing, not lording it over others when we are doing good work, but always remaining humble, just as our Lord has humbled himself for us, being reminded at all times that when we fail, we have a Lord who has redeemed us, who has taught us about the truth of God's word for us. Not that we must work our way up into heaven, but that he has humbled himself to come down here and redeem us. so that we can keep the third commandment which we just recited. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God so that we do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear it and learn it. So that when we hear God's word and know God's word, we can live according to it, being imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ and not imitators of this fallen, sinful world. Resting assured always that our Lord Jesus Christ has humbled Himself. He has come down from heaven and lived a perfect life in your stead to forgive you your sins and remind you that He has humbled Himself so that you might be exalted, not only in this life, but eternally with Him in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue now with our hymn number 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
Thank you.
welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, true humility for us and for our salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of salvation, full and free, in and through Jesus, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, especially this day we lay before you Katie, Janet, Tina, Jerry, Kay, Jake, Al, Willis, Dorothy, Joyce, Lyle, Cindy, Tanya, Dan, Judy, Kyra, our shut-in members, all those in long-term care, for those who are serving in the military, and all others that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We sing. Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 728, How Firm a Foundation. Dan, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever you sing the last verse of that hymn, those of us that didn't always have gray hair can always relate to that. So I always said I'd rather be bald than gray, and now I'm going to get to be both. So yeah, okay, yeah. That's why we have a young pastor here, too, to balance things out. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. We've got coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Our Sunday school opening will be in here in about, 15, 20 minutes or so. So we have plenty of time to visit and have goodies today. At 9:30 this morning, at 9:30, not 9:20 as it says on the bulletin cover, but at 9:30 today, we'll have our voters assembly. At the last voters assembly, we prepared and shared all the information for the loan refinancing, but we didn't have the paperwork available and said that'll be coming. Well, it's here. So we have that paperwork that needs to be approved by the voters to be able to move forward with that, and that'll be at 9:30 in the fellowship hall. That way it'll give everybody a chance to be done with the Sunday school opening and such as well. Also, you notice on the front, and got a little insert here. I suppose this will be our enduring legacy and remembrance and tribute to Vicar Short every time we have a blood drive here. But we do have a Red Cross blood drive coming on October 8th. That'll be from 1 to 7 o'clock. We found out last time that the best way to donate blood is to go online or download their app and make an appointment. They will accept drop-ins, but we had so many drop-ins last time that it messed up their schedule completely and some people got turned away. So if you're able to donate, that would be awesome. Best way to do it is to go online. And if you have any questions, I know we'll be putting together some helpers and stuff for goodies and snacks. Adam Mankin is in charge of that. Oh, there he is. I thought I saw you here. It's always difficult when we don't have the Lord's Supper because I don't know where everybody's sitting. So Adam is the one in charge of the details for the Red Cross blood drive. So if you have any questions or want to help in some way but can't give blood, talk to Adam and we'll get you straightened out. Pastor, anything else?
Nothing I can think of. Members or the Summary of Christian Doctrine class, new member class, we'll have that scheduled here by the end of the week, and next week that should be in the bulletin, so look forward to that.
Okay, all right. You already talked enough, Vicar. Good job. Good job. Please join us for coffee and goodies, and we'll see what we have for time after our voters meeting with regard to Bible study. Have a great day in the week and life in our Lord Jesus Christ.